bless the approval of the Legacy Park Recreation Program guidelines.
Well, they're not going to be able to do that.
We can't, yeah, we can't vote.
Because that's something they have to vote on.
Can, we can't send this, can we send it out to all members?
Yeah, we can, but they have to, they'll have to vote on it at the next meeting.
Well, then rather than doing the walkthrough at the next meeting, why don't we set the walkthrough for like next week?
Well, we can do the walkthrough at the next meeting. We can just meet here first and y'all can vote on this. You'll have it already. We'll send it out.
It's okay to wait a month?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's okay to wait a month, right? I mean, there wasn't any big hurry.
No, July is our.
Did you all get a copy of it?
It's in your packet.
Okay, so take just a look at it. And Michelle, if you could email it to everyone and tell them to please review it.
Okay.
If you guys have any comments, if you will email them back to us so that we can work through that before the next meeting so that what you're seeing is a final. But we can talk about it. I mean, it's a, you all had asked for them to have a process in place for accepting nominations and vetting them. And just so you know, they are going to have the
Is this part of the meeting? Because I don't think we officially started
at all,
a meeting.
Or do you record?
No, we're
when
not officially
there's
having
a forum.
So we're not having
yeah,
a meeting.
Yeah, but you still need to record it.
Okay.
You're still having a meeting. You just can't vote on any business.
Right. Okay. That's.
But there's three of you in the rooms, and we're going to talk about things, so we need it to be recorded.
Oh.
Okay. So do you want to go ahead and state for the record that this is not a quorum?
It is not.
Call your roll.
Okay. Sorry. Ross Davis. Excuse. Bill Ray. Yvonne Cruz.
Here.
Christina D'Amato Miller.
Present.
David Gibbous. Simon Ponder.
Here.
Tanya Walker is excused.
Okay, so just to say what I just said. You had asked for them to put together a procedure to receive nominations and to vet them. And so that's what you're looking at right here. And I just wanted to point out to you, you can look through it and then we can have more discussion, but I wanted to point out that this first go round, they're going to accept, is it 10, Terry?
Yes.
And then after that, they're going to accept nominations each year during a designated time.
Two per year.
They're only going to approve two per year. And then they have in here their criteria for vetting them. What'll happen once you approve this, then this policy, along with their first 10, will go to City Council. The first 10 that have been vetted will go to City Council for approval. And then each year when they accept their two to be inducted, then council will approve those names as well. And I think that addresses all of y'all's concerns. But read through it in detail. Send us any comments you have. You can send them directly to Michelle. Don't copy each other. Send them to Michelle and, you know, we can have dialogue based on that. But if they're simple things to just correct, we'll just do that and get it done so that when we come to the next meeting, you're approving a final. Okay? And then you see the information on the project tour.
Trying to get my ruler together.
16's about that big. It's a, like, yeah.
Well, this is 11
like
inches paper.
Large towel.
Yeah, kind of hard to tell, but it is like a large towel. But a little bit, you know, the typical towel is a 12 inch. It's a little bit bigger than that.
Sorry, it's wet. It was in the flood.
Yeah, for weeks after, she had stuff laid out all over her office, drying out.
The only homework I went.
So this is how we're going to do it. We're going to do it this way because it's cheaper, and the city's going to absorb this cost. So we'll go into the existing walking trail there, and we'll cut out a piece, and we'll put pavers in there, and then have two stones in each one. As opposed to this, because then that just doubles the amount of strips with the pavers in that.
I have a comment on page 2 of this, where it says that nominations will be July 1st of every year, and the announcement will be September 1st. If by chance those dates happen on a weekend, Would you go, would you extend it, let's say, to the Monday after or the Friday before as the deadline?
Probably, typically if it's on a weekend, you'd go to the Monday after.
Do we need to state that on here?
No. Can, yeah.
Okay. One says no and one says maybe. And
I mean, I don't know that you really have to. It's, okay. You know, it's basically a guideline. I don't think that... Mm-hmm. Nobody's typically going to balk at the day extra. Now, the day short could create problems.
I think that too.
I visited a park in D.C. a couple months ago, and they had, instead of the pavers, like time capsules.
Oh,
where each different little groups did time capsules, and they were like cylinders.
Yep, I've seen them.
And
that's really cool.
About so tall, not that big around.
Really?
And then they had like a copper top.
Yeah, I can't imagine that's cheap.
No. It didn't look cheap.
But they should think. Think about doing a couple of those out there.
There's one right at the corner of the courthouse.
Nice, and they had about
there's one on the chamber lot. Which
is there a time capsule there?
Moved one at the airport, right, Barry?
Is there one at the airport?
Isn't there one at Fort King? Yeah, that one's not buried. Oh, you moved that one, didn't you? That's the one at the library.
You can't move a time capsule. It's not a treasure hunt.
No, this one was in a case.
Where was it?
It was the library put it together, and it was in a case at Fort King National Historic Landmark. We moved it back to the library.
In?
To the
inside
library.
Inside the library. That's
right in front of the computer lab.
Where else did somebody tell me they saw one recently, that there was one recently? And I was surprised.
I only knew about the courthouse. Maybe a school?
Was it Scott Springs?
Time capsule? I don't think so.
That's pretty cool.
Wow. Isn't that cool?
Okay. That is cool.
Yeah, they look real neat because there's about 30 of them. And they're all.
It's brass, isn't it? That's a brass cap.
I don't know if it's brass or copper, but you know, it's real nice.
Yeah, it's
not cheap,
but it sure is a great idea.
The park is adjacent to a middle school, and these go along Michigan Avenue.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. Your grandkids will be approving that one day here.
Thinks she's supposed to walk.
They'll be saying, those cheap city people, these pieces of stuff and stones, we got to replace them with these things. Yeah. All right, so you all have the next meeting on your calendars already. We're going to do a tour. We can move on to new business.
We're touring with Vance. Bus?
Mm-hmm. Well, we don't have a bus. Vans. Okay, new business. You guys don't have to vote on this, but I do need to present these to you because these grants are due at the end of the month, and part of the process is we have to do a presentation on them to our advisory board. So Scott Springs, we're putting in a FERDAP grant for Scott Springs, and we're going to apply for up to $200,000. And it is to help fund the skate park, but we're also going to throw in, because this is how you get points, so we look at what we've already funded that can help for the match. So the Junior League gave us funding to put in the a family pavilion similar to the one we have over here at Tuscola Playground, so we'll be putting that in. We're doing an expansion to the walking trail, and we're putting interpretive signage. So those kind of things will get us more points. We're not really asking for money for those things because we already have money for those, but they'll help serve as part of the match. And then we have the rest of the skate park money to serve as the balance of the match. So hopefully we'll get $200,000 to help go towards the skate park. And then the FERDAP grant for the Martin Luther King Recreation Complex, that grant is going to be to replace the playground. It's actually a couple years overdue. So we're going to put in a grant for it, and the match for that is going to be, we have About $120,000 budgeted to replace the lighting at the football field and to add lighting for the tennis courts. So we're going to use that funding to match that grant. And then...
What's the further grant amount on that?
I'm not sure yet. We're going to apply for...
You can take it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Up to $200,000, but it depends. I got to match it 50-50, so I need to come up with $200,000 worth of match.
At Martin Luther King.
Right.
It has to be at...
Yes.
What about, but the water thing is at Lillian.
Right. Right.
What didn't we say something was that... We just redid the tennis things, didn't we?
Yeah, but we can only go retroactive on the match to July 1st of this past summer. Mm-hmm. So the governor, this budget will go into effect July 1st of 2017, so you can match with anything you spend back a year. So we're looking at that to try to figure out that. If not, we can apply for less funding and just go for up to $150,000, I think it is, we can apply for a 75%. We only have to provide a 25% match. So
it's due at the end of this month, but it had to have been done since July or by July?
Any money that you spent all the way back to July, this past July, so the grant funding,
so July 15 to July 16.
No. 16 to 17.
Well, how do we know? We just have to have it set aside.
Right. So anything that I've already got budgeted to spend in this current year, or if I've spent any money in last fiscal year, which July through September, I can count it as well. The state's fiscal year is different than ours, so that. But so we had money budgeted for lighting. And so that's already in our budget. So that's what we try to do. We try to look at what's already in our budget and how can we leverage that to get funding from the state. You know that the state hasn't been funding the FERDAP program for years. Last year, they did finally approve some of the larger projects. Wasn't a lot of money, but so depending on what kind of political climate we have will determine if there's even funding for the larger projects. They fund those smaller projects like crazy, but they hadn't been funding the large projects for a few years. But things are turning up and the tax revenues are back up, and so hopefully they're gonna. And then with the Amendment 1 funds, they're pushing some of it towards FERDAP. So that's it on that. In terms of a project update, we now have a contract for the Lillian Bryant splash pad. That's under design. We are working on the purchase order right now for all the raindrop stuff, the stuff that goes in it. And it should be under construction by December, and it should be done by March, and we'll open that in April. And then the Fort King National Historic Landmark, that contract will go to council next Tuesday. And that project will go under construction. Some of it will start happening before, but the actual construction of the fort will start in January, and it will be done by May or June. We'll start doing some of the work to clear the land and build the pad. But the project, the fort itself, will happen at the beginning of 2017. Those are our big projects, other than the lighting projects I just talked about. What else? I told you about what we're going to do at Scott Springs. We have two new parks that we will construct this year. One is a piece of property that probably about 3 years ago, 4 years ago, a bank foreclosed on a house. They donated the property to us. We had the house torn down. It's in Northeast Ocala, which, if you don't know, there are no parks in Northeast Ocala north of 14th Street. So it is definitely a park desert.
How far does the city limits go?
to 35th in some cases.
Is Cohadra's not ours though? That's right.
And it's not in right, and it's not in city limits. It counts beyond. As a level of service park because if it's within 2 miles of city limits, we count it.
So but, where is the park? And where is the property? In a residential?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
So that's what we're looking for is to get to, you know, part of the walkability is to get just little. So the bank donated the property and the Junior League matched us, gave us, I think they're giving us $8,500 and we'll match that to put play equipment. It's a pocket park, so it won't take much
more. Is it like an acre or what is it?
It's probably about a quarter of an acre.
Oh, yeah. So it's tiny.
Yeah, they're pretty small.
Yeah.
They're just neighborhood parks.
Yeah. We're trying to get, and those are actually pretty well used, those little smaller parks. And then also, it seemed like there was one other one. Oh, the farm market park. So where the new farm market moved, there's a piece of grass there where the DBA sponsored a tractor-shaped playground. And so we're going to put that in there and we're thinking like some of those round hay bales. And
that's so a cute idea, so it stays with the theme of the farmer's market.
Right.
Very cute.
Mm-hmm. So we'll get that done this year too. And then that's the gist of it. There's other miscellaneous things, some minor improvements at Discovery Center. Yes, we're moving forward with the Pine Oaks Preserve Wetlands Park. That's going to be a really, really cool park.
Did somebody say that one was going to be converted to foot golf?
No.
I heard that. Okay, that's incorrect.
Yeah. Okay. No, it's a... So the city gets... the city is... Well, it's not just the city. The state's under mandates to reduce the nitrates in the water. So, you know, they test what's coming out of Silver Springs, and so everything relates back to that. And so this wet, and also your plants, your water treatment plants only have so much capacity. And so by reusing and recharging your aquifer, you get credits at your plant. So it will save the city millions of dollars in potential expansion of the treatment facilities that were recharging the aquifer. And so a wetlands park takes reuse water basically, and they design it in a way that you can basically flood the property, but they're going to have these boardwalks and landscaping and stuff, and it's going to be a park.
Are you getting that past the, what is the body that regulates the wetlands?
We're creating a wetlands.
But it's not already a wetland.
No.
Yeah, because they're a nightmare to battle.
They're funding it. They're providing most of the funding for it. And it's going to be an Audubon destination.
Right, because once it's a wetland, let me tell you.
I'll bring y'all pictures of the schematic for it.
At all.
Back into the golf course?
No, this is on the East 9.
So you're going to dig it out?
Okay, time you turn in.
Yeah, everything on
the right side. The golf course will still be there.
Used to be there.
With the disc golf design currently.
Should eliminate the alligators on the golf course.
Oh, sure. By putting more wetland, that'll fix it.
Well, they'll have a place to go. No, there's always alligators out there, but they're, you know, we have Metuscola too.
I bought a spring in Summerfield, and those wetlands people are serious. You're not touching that land once they designate.
It's going to be a really neat project, though, and just from a... not just the credit the city gets, but the amenity. Having that kind of park right in our city is going to be phenomenal. So I will bring, do not let me forget, I promised them this a couple times now.
Okay.
I will bring y'all a picture of what it looks like.
And then really like cool. The boardwalk and all that, you have approval for all of that, or are you doing that first?
Here's the beautiful thing, there is no mean.
It's all the
water and sewer department's handling the whole project.
Wow.
Isn't it wonderful?
And you get to call it your own.
I'd love
and
to
then when it's done, place. They'll ask Bill for his input from a management standpoint, you know, what does this need to look like? What does that need to look
right.
like?
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, and then, because we'll have to operate it once it's constructed, but it's going to be really neat. And when you think about that coupled with the Four King National Historic Landmark, Heritage Nature Conservancy, Scott Springs, those are,
right.
you know, to have those kind of nature
I love
facilities right yeah. in your city is it's a pretty big deal.
So I should be buying property on Pine Oak.
And the programming okay. opportunities.
Just go all the way over to the railroad tracks. Because they spent a lot of money last year, year before, on that area opposite of the tracks. Dredging it out, one of those retention holes. It was really a swamp, not a retention
hole. Is that north?
Yes.
North of the property?
Mm-hmm.
That was part of 35th Street expansion.
That far away from 35th?
Well, if it's the DR, if it's to the north.
Yeah, but it's before you get to 36.
It's
time you cross the tracks there. You know, like if you're going up to, what is it, 27th Street that goes down to Pine Oaks, and you cross the railroad tracks, those tracks run across the back of the golf course because that's
right.
why one of those companies wanted
you're
to buy
right.
the golf course because of the railroad
And there's
tracks.
A DRA there, and that
yeah.
DRA is part of the 35th Street expansion
okay.
project. Yeah, that DRA got constructed in what used to be the North 40 mm-hmm. spray site. North of Pine Oaks, there was 40 acres that
right.
they did nothing but discharge effluent water. Those sprinklers oh, ran okay. nonstop.
Okay.
Pine Oaks has gotten quite wet since
part
they
of
quit
that 35th Street thing, because it seems like it's too far away from
yeah,
it.
Yeah, no. It all connects. Everything connects. Even the ponds at Pine Oaks connect.
Yeah.
Yep. So that's all I got for now. Parks operations. What are you open up to?
Getting ready. As far as right now, let's see. We've got getting ready to move forward with H&C once we have the state approval. Waiting on that. So we've pre-marked the trail and started programming out there and waiting for that to move. The Fort King site is tree count ready to go. That paperwork will be submitted shortly to the state. And as soon as that comes through with an approval, we can start the clearing. We already have that set forward with an in-kind donation for a gentleman who owns a land clearing business here in town. And he's gonna clear the land out for us free of cost. So we can move forward with the project. As Kathy mentioned, the contract's going out. We finished the scope of work, finished the contract the past week. It'll go before council coming up in another week and get that signed. And we can start as soon as we have the approval again from the state.
You all, did you all meet Bill before?
I haven't.
So Bill was, he was our outdoor historical resource coordinator. He's been here a year.
13 months.
He worked at the Fort King National Historic Landmark, and then he managed that property, Heritage Nature Conservancy, and Scott Springs. Before us, he worked for the National Park Service in
Shenandoah National Park.
Ooh, that's pretty
very nice.
Yeah.
Waynesboro?
I did. I had the whole South District from Waynesboro, from 105
to Stuart Strath.
33. Yeah, I kind of know Stuart Strath well.
Uh-huh. Yes, you do.
So, and they're gearing up for tons of, you know, it's events.
The art park is just about finished up
open
right
Saturday.
Now. Opening up this weekend. And we have all the events that got canceled from the hurricane have been pushed up for the next 2 weekends in a row. So we're
right.
really, really busy for the next 2 weeks.
It's ugly. Their radio chatter is quite interesting right now.
Yeah.
It seems like everybody's cooperating, though. Like, the symphony is cooperating with Shakespeare.
Oh, everybody's cooperating with each other, but we just have to provide all the labor.
It's going
to
be huge.
We just got to do all the legwork.
Yeah.
They get
it's
the praise.
Great, though.
We don't get the
any
praise.
Different.
We just get the legwork done.
Yeah.
That's great, though. All right.
Well, on my end, we just wrapped up softball, Adult Softball Tuesday, so now we're implementing co-ed softball on Wednesday, so it'll be Tuesday men's, Wednesday co-ed, and hopefully in the future we can come back and do women's softball. Our Monday night flag football ended also. We're also implementing co-ed, and then we had to talk about bringing all women's team. We just had our sports ability about 2 weeks ago. That was a success. We have our swim team over. Well, we have some people renting our pools out for the school board. Trinity Catholic reports to Jeremy Gant. They have swim meets on Thursdays. And just trying to implement new programs. That's my main thing on my mind right now. So,
what kinds of new programs?
I have an endless list of things that I want to do.
Right. Is it more sports related things?
Well, that's the thing I want to do. I think sports related, we're good. We have volleyball coming up. We have indoor soccer coming up. We're implementing a STARS program, and also we're trying to reach to the 3-4-year-olds to start them, start smart. That's what it's called. We're trying to aim at them earlier. And just after school wise, I think we have a lot of programs that we can provide, some mommy and me classes, some teen programs, something educational for the kids after school. We're getting a bus now in January, so maybe driving the kids around to like community gardens and coming over here to Discovery Center and just showing them different things after school wise. That's not,
that's a neat idea.
Your everyday sports. So just trying to implement things here and there.
Are you doing the one for the kids, the golf, the first tee?
No.
That's not you guys, okay. Mm-hmm.
But I had talks with somebody when I first came here, but they said that they were already doing a first tee program. So.
First tee program's in a little bit of transition right now, too. Their director stepped down, and they were hiring someone new. So it's been a highly successful program, though. They have a school-based program, and then they have their program at the actual golf courses.
Okay. So I just made an equipment donation to them.
Oh, that's good.
It's a great program to donate to.
We did, if I can interject here, we did do a new program this year out of Fort King, which was called Reading Ranger. We paired up with the Marion County Library, and every Friday, myself and the 3 to 4 rangers would meet at a different park. We did, I think it was 15 different parks throughout the city, and we concentrated on the smaller parks that don't get a lot of attendance typically, the pocket parks and things like that. And we read to the kids, and that went over really, really well. Our attendance, I'd say we probably averaged over all the programs, we averaged about 60 to 80. On the programs, and we had the kids coming from some of the rec centers, and every ranger takes a turn and reads a book to the kids.
That's pretty good.
That was really well received.
Quite entertaining.
And
the kids are.
We even had city council read
the rangers,
and the mayor read down at Citizen Circle, and we're expanding that now to a teen club reading club, where we're looking at a list of, I think it's a total of 8 books, adventure books, and at the end of each month, after you read a book, we do one of the activities in the book. They're all survival type books, and we do one of the activities at one of the parks, typically at Fort King, for that, and then at the end, we're looking to reward them with a little bit of a larger trip, maybe a kayak and survival trip or something like that. And that'll be geared towards teens.
Yeah. The teens, I think, are harder to get them involved. Because I know Discovery Center's been doing, these teens want to stay at home and do the video games.
Mm-hmm. But it's an important age.
We've had some pretty good talk on the phone with their girlfriend or boyfriend.
Yeah.
We've had really good results with them, with the advertising we've done on our social media at Fort King, doing a lot of real primitive skills type classes, making atlatls and
tomahawks
and fishing.
I was going to say, they're doing a lot of things to get people in. They did the, I don't know, fishing thing, making fishing, primitive
weekend.
Feeding, fishing
primitive
or whatever.
Fish trap.
Okay, yes.
And we're making fishing poles tomorrow and fishing Saturday.
So I think that's neat that you guys are bringing people into the park even before you've built the fort.
Yep.
Yeah. You got movies in the park also.
Oh, yeah.
She knows. Bring the popcorn.
Our
entry art sale money.
Stop it, you two. She still remembers that story. That's from a long time ago.
October 28th, we have Freaky Friday movie in the park.
I saw that, yeah.
And we're doing the
Ghostbusters, right?
Yeah, we're doing the Ghostbusters, but we're doing a haunted trail. From 5 o'clock to 8 o'clock at Fort King, a trick or treat trail.
Right.
And the darker it gets, the scarier the trail gets.
It's going to be scary.
No clowns.
Yeah, no clowns.
No clowns. It's all. It's all zombie themed.
It's what themed?
It's all zombie themed.
Oh, I love zombies.
Because that's so much better than clowns.
Although zombies are not cool anymore, is what I heard.
Yeah.
That's until Walking Dead starts next week.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Then it'll get
scary stuff.
And the girl who's doing our makeup does the makeup for Walking Dead.
So October 28th is going to be appropriate for older kids.
Yes,
that's great.
The younger kids can go. Well, the younger. Well, you can have young.
You can have the young. I would bring the younger little kids. I would bring them early while it's daylight. They have that 5 to 6 hour.
And then the older kids, did it be okay? All right.
Yeah, and then
it's dark. And then
the older kids will be dark and be scarier.
That same day is the event. Over
the United Way.
Yes. Yeah, that evening is Church United Way down at downtown. And then we're showing Ghostbusters, and I have a paranormal group, investigation group that's coming in.
I hope it works.
And they're doing.
There's ghosts out there. I'm telling you.
I've got a paranormal group.
Lori, by any chance? Is her name Lori?
Ghost Quest.
Yeah, I don't know the name of her company, but okay. She'll probably be done.
And then the 31st.
And that'll be a good one. They're coming
31st,
in.
31st, Kelsey's doing
her.
Doing hers at MLK.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that on here? Yes, it is on here. For 12 and under.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's more kiddie and fun.
Hey, Terry.
Special services. Bill mentioned the art park opening. That's this weekend. We are really gearing up towards Light Up Ocala. Just to back up a little bit, the cultural festival was canceled due to the storm. We rescheduled the Kids Diversity Social at Krosky. That's the 20th. So that there was a little impact there, but we're moving full speed ahead with Light Up Ocala. Skating rink plans and to install that. So that's opening. At Light Up Ocala. We had the dinosaur exhibit open October 7th or 8th?
8th.
The 8th? Open the 8th. Nice reception.
Well, it was supposed to open
the 5th, I believe.
Yeah, it got canceled because of the storm.
Mm-hmm.
So it's open now.
We are, I think we're almost fully staffed at the Discovery Center. We hired an exhibit coordinator.
One person.
Yeah, that person's focus will be...
From within or no?
Yeah,
She was from within.
Yeah.
Is it Sue? Who is she?
Suzanne's Katie. The manager over there.
Got it.
What was that?
This person will answer to her.
Messenger. She was really good.
She's awesome.
Kate Messenger? Mm-hmm. We had hired her, what, about 6 months ago, if that?
Not that, I don't think
not
quite
even.
That long.
No. She's about 3 months.
And she was, you know, she came in a part-time job that she was... more than qualified for.
Right.
But so it was nice to be able to, they actually took applications
skills.
From outside too. So.
And she was the most qualified. Yeah. Good for her.
Yeah, I wasn't really even sure how some of those applications got through. But.
She's really good.
That's exciting. The Dino exhibit, the skating rink is in a new location. It will be across from the square on the next to the tree. At the Chamber lot, so
catty corner to Harry's.
How is that new? Okay. Isn't that where it was last year?
No,
it was where the parking garage is now.
Yeah.
You know where the parking garage is?
Yeah,
that's where
but
the
I
ice
thought
rink
it was.
Was.
It, well, wasn't it in the Chamber lot in years past somehow?
Oh, it was always in the Sprint lot.
The tree. So everything's going to be in close proximity. It's going to be pretty happening right there on the square.
The tree is right next to the chamber lot, right?
It's on the chamber lot.
It's on the chamber. So where's the tree going to be? On the chamber lot?
Yeah. Yep. It's on the grass. The skating rink's going to be on the asphalt.
I swear I thought the skating rink was there last year. It wasn't.
We'll still be doing the hay rides and Santa on the Square Tuesday. So it's going to be pretty festive. Hopefully have some cool weather. I think that's enough.
Right, yes. Santa on the Square is one of my favorite things that you guys do. Santa on the Square is great. And your kids kids aren't little anymore, but
right,
it's a huge
eventually
deal.
Eventually, your kids will have kids, and you'll go there. I'm serious. It's crazy to me that I took my little children to Santa on the Square, and I take my grandbaby to Santa on the Square.
It's a great tradition, and it's really? Just so homey with Mrs. Claus and the hot cocoa, and it is.
And we'll
it's
be
nice.
Recruiting volunteers for Santa's Calling.
You're gonna make a great Santa Claus on the Square. We need volunteers. We do need
Potter,
Santas.
We need Santas, and we need North Pole operators.
Listen, last year we did. This will make you volunteer. Last year we did not have enough men to volunteer, so we had women trying to make their voices.
Oh no!
Some of those kids knew.
Traumatized.
You know what? Do you have something that you could give us at the next meeting? That,
yes.
Because I do have guy friends that would do that. That you got to give
it's
them.
It's a real feel.
You
got to
focus, my guy friends. This is the date. This is the time. This you got to call. This is what you got to do. So if you could make like something,
you have a form, like a volunteer form.
Yeah.
Just
and info.
You provide the outfits?
Well, no, for Santa's Calling.
Making phone calls.
That one, the Santa's Calling.
Santa on the Square, we do provide the outfits.
Okay. Because you have the elf outfits. You said you need volunteers for the elves? I don't know if you're calling them elves or whatever you're calling them. The helpers.
You should get some of the high school service clubs to do it. They would love to do it.
We have Santa and Mrs. Claus and the Grinch. One of our staff does the Grinch, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
The Grinch closes the line because that's
the
not good
spot.
A good job.
The good spot's always taken.
Coordinator should coordinate that. Alex will get the
Santa's Calling is the one that, I mean, we call hundreds of kids over 3 days. And so that's the one where we really could use help.
Look, if you can get me the dates, I could get. I'll get something out there. Get me the info, and I'll try and round you up some.
Next meeting.
Good.
And of course, Light Up Ocala volunteers. If anybody wants to.
The Santa's Call, is that done from your home, or do you have a central area?
We have a central area where
we know we're doing over at Park.
I'll be drinking.
So you basically would pair you up with a Santa, and then, or if like my husband did it with me 1 year, so we did it. You know, we paired up together, and you go in an office and you have your stack of forms and you just start calling through them. And then if any of them, you can't reach them because they tell you which day they want you to call. And so if you can't reach them, then you set that form aside and the next day and the next day, they'll keep trying to call them.
Okay.
So
you have key information about the child and what they want. The parent fills that out.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. They really do know about me.
Right.
Lord
knows I haven't been doing my homework.
That is great.
It's really kind of cruel. Just perpetuating the lie.
Yeah. 1 year when my kids were little, they wanted a scooter, and it was one of those times where like the stores were sold out because every kid wanted a scooter. So I whispered to Santa, I said, please tell my kid that, you know, scooters are no longer available. So little one, what do you want for Christmas? I want a scooter. Oh, I'm sorry, I can't get it that cheap.
Oh my gosh.
I had to do something because the scooter was not going to show
up. Perfect.
That's a mother's love.
My kids.
You know how many lines I stood in to get a Tickle Me Elmo?
Right?
Oh, did you?
Elmo was
my
the
gosh.
Worst.
Yes, yes.
You know, my kids, that year? It solidified that Santa existed when they got a tree fort. Because they knew that there was no way we
Mom.
Could have built that overnight.
Right.
So for a solid week, we came home after dark. Because that tree fort was being built up in the tree. And it took a week. And they said that's when they knew Santa was real.
Wow. Awesome. When my daughter was little, she went to the Montessori and my sister's Jehovah's Witness. And she stayed the night with my sister. And my sister told my 5-year-old kid how there is no Santa.
Oh, no.
And my kid shut down the Montessori. Miss Martha, kids are crying, parents are picking them up. My kid announced to the whole Montessori, your mom's lying to you. There's no such thing. And I'm sure, and all you could do is go,
and I'm sure she had it all laid out in a very organized manner.
Parents were threatening me with
briefs and exhibits.
Oh, horrible. So we always loved Santa on the square after that little run-in.
Yeah.
I think she was six when that happened.
Wow. Kelvin Richardson was Santa once, and his nephew came to see Santa and sat on his lap and looked up at him and said, "Uncle Kelvin, is that you?" That was my all-time favorite story. I didn't know it was Mrs. Claus.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Oh, Kelvin, is that you? Can't pull anything by those kids. All right, thanks everyone. We'll
I'm
see
actually
you.
Surprised you don't use a rent-a-cent. No, like pay somebody to do it. Yeah. Right,
we
so
can
volunteer. Tents, okay. Right?
Yeah. And,
yep.
You know, it's... Typically, I know Diane, when she ran it, she had a Santa that came back year after year, so I don't know if we have
reach
that
out
Santa.
To Santa's them.
But the big need is the Santa's calling, right? All right.
Yeah.
How many
yeah.
people do you usually need for that? Around, what, 30, 20?
I'd say you need at least 8
couples. Yeah.
I mean, if we had more, that would be great. He wouldn't be there all night. But right. We could call from here, too, because you don't have to call from over there. That's just where the food is. Yeah.
And it typically is a 3-day, and it's in the evening?
Yeah, but...
I was going to say,
but even
yeah.
if you don't
you
want to
do one night,
three
that's
days,
great.
You can do
yeah.
just
yeah.
one volunteer
yeah.
accordingly. A lot of them do
one
just one night.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, send out the information. I might know some people.
I'll
so.
Like to do
it
one night.
Yeah, I think it'd be fun to talk to the kids. So.
It
I mean,
is.
I might volunteer if I had the time.
No.
All right, thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. See you on the 10th. Did we